Hey, America.
Start listening now.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
We're back for another fun episode. We're talking about the 2016 contest. But it's not too far back. It's only
2016.
Yeah. So that's what. No. This can't be right. Eight years ago.
Oh, God.
Derek, run the numbers again. This can't be right. And welcome to another miscalculated episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision Song Contest podcast from America. The country that knows it might sound strange, but suddenly I'm not the same as I used to be. It's like I've stepped out of space and time and come alive. I guess that's what it's all about. Because I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny.
And suddenly I'm aroused.
Fond memories.
Oh, very fond memories.
Yeah, okay. Before we all gush over Love Wave, because I assume that's how this is going to turn out. But who knows? We're going to talk about 2016. Yeah, we're going to talk about 2016. We're going to talk about some of the highs, some of the lows, some of the weird things, some of about how the official program is rife with errors. We'll play a little game with that. And I don't know. Who knows what'll happen? But first, Sam, why don't you hit them with those nice...
Those guys.
Those socials.
Yeah. You can find us on basically all the standard social media outlets at 12pointsUSA, or you can just email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. You can find some of our merchandise over on our Redbubble page, or you can support us either by a one-off donation on our Ko-fi, that's ko-fi.com account, or with a continuing a bit of support through our Patreon. And whether you support us financially or not, we love you and appreciate you either way. But Patreon supporters do get exclusive content and early access to episodes. Yeah.
We put up some fun videos recently that I really enjoyed making. I don't know if we're going to... Do we have one for this episode? We may come up with something. We'll see.
Outtakes.
Yes. All right. So somebody screws something up really badly. In a way that's really funny, and then all the patrons can see what it was. Say a really bad word. Don't actually do that. Really quick, I swear to God this isn't a movie podcast, but I need to I want to say a thing really quick here. It's kind of relevant in that it involves European.
I know where music. This is going. You can go for it. Eric.
I think you do. Yeah. Last night I saw the movie Kneecap, which is a sort of fictionalized biopic of this group called Kneecap that is a group of young Northern Irish lads who in the Irish language.
Oh yeah, I've seen the previews for that. Yeah,
and it's about, you know, it's a story about the power of music and the power of language. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say if you enjoy this podcast, you will enjoy this movie. This is not a paid endorsement or anything like that.
This is just sweet Kneecap money, huh?
Yeah, get the sweet Kneecap cash, which is better than it sounds. It is a wonderful film. It's funny. It's charming.
I've already said to Eric, I kind of wrote it off because it's being so aggressively marketed to me on Instagram right now. I think that's just because they know what I like. I went onto the Letterboxd page and I realized that like 50% of the cast doesn't even have like a headshot on Letterboxd, which is honestly a great sign for an indie movie.
Well, no, the members of the band play themselves.
Oh, for sure?
Yeah. Okay. And then like Michael Fassbender is also there.
Yeah. And also Michael Fassbender's there. Yeah.
So yeah, no wonder it's marketed to you. God. Anyway, if you enjoy Eurovision and you enjoy like the language aspect of Eurovision, please see this film. It's great. And that's all I'll say about it. Movie podcast. Sorry. Moving on. What were we talking about? Oh, the 2016 Eurovision Song Contest. There isn't even any like news right now, is there?
Not really. Not a ton. No, Daddy Freya just played Lollapalooza, yep. Which is pretty awesome. We will get our host city announcement on August 30th. We know it's going to be either Geneva or Basel. I've got backup hotels in both of them.
You've bought hotels?
Yes. Yep. Yeah, there's really not a heck of a lot. We will be doing our next couple of episodes, looking forward to the Eurovision Young Musicians competition that's coming up in the next few weeks. They've released the songs for OGAE Second Chance Contest, which is always a good time. So we'll probably talk about that in the next episode or two. But other than that, it's still quiet season. You know, summer, people are on vacation. People are still, frankly, recovering from May. It's not a lot is going to happen. You'll honestly hear a little bit more junior news than you will for senior at this time of year. But yeah, we're happy that you're still joining us even during the quiet season. So yeah, let's just dive into our topic, 2016. It's a banner year, I think. Derek, you and I were both there on site in Stockholm. Any favorite memories, any favorite moments from that time? Because that would have been your second contest, right?
That was the second one, yeah.
Yeah.
I think we were both with Eurovision Ireland that year.
Yeah, I was kind of double dipping with Insight in Ireland and Eurovision Ireland, yeah.
I think the best thing was we got to do interviews, which was a lot of fun. And you and I were kind of on both sides of the camera for that.
It was
and
a good time.
Yeah, I think some of the press conferences were a lot of fun. I got a donut.
Ooh. Yeah, yeah. Calliope, ooh, just proving her legendary status. She was always very coy because her song Dona that year. She was very, very coy about what Dona means because it's not a word in Macedonian.
It's and not?
It's nope. Not.
You want so to change somebody your top had five now?
Yeah, it's going on. No, it's not.
So yeah, she teased that she would tell us what it meant if she won, which obviously didn't happen. But but at one point during her press conference, she's like, this mantra, this word, this dona, 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 and I realize, well, it's dona, dona, donuts. And suddenly the doors to the press hall open up and there come in the press crew from the Macedonian delegation and just boxes of donuts that they start hanging out to all the press like, assembled.
Jesus Christ.
They're all from Mr. Donut or something. Or was it Dunkin' Donuts?
I think it was Dunkin', yeah.
It was Dunkin' Donuts, yeah. I get those two confused.
Well, Mr. Donut is mostly in Japan, so.
Yes, that's Dunkin', why.
They have Dunkin' in Sweden?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were everywhere.
I don't remember seeing those in Malmo. I'm sure someone is going to correct me on this.
It might be.
I don't remember seeing them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were all over Stockholm. I think everywhere we went, I saw one. I was like, oh, I want a donut. Oh, they're $5.
Oh, that's Sweden for you. Mm. But yeah, you and I got to meet a lot of the artists that year. Either just being around the press center is a little bit more of an open situation than it is now. Doing the interviews, getting to know the delegations a little bit more. It was just a really fun year. I mean, there would be times that we would just be sitting in our kind of not assigned seats, but the kind of places where we end up just hanging out. We'd turn around and there's Philip Kirkorov in the table next to us.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. Well, that's a jump scare.
That was.
Just to turn around and be like, ah!
He's gigantic. I know, but you see pictures of him and you see him like when he's doing press conferences and stuff and you're just like, he's kind of a tall guy. But man, when he's in front of you, wow. And he's got these giant shoes. So
he's wearing like elevator shoes.
Yeah, he's already like 6'8" and he's wearing lifts. It's just absurd.
I remember he had this massive, like ridiculous belt buckle.
With a lion on it, wasn't it?
Yes.
Jesus.
And it matched his hair because he had the volume going on.
Yeah, I want to be clear. When I say there was a lion on it, I mean, I'm not like engraved drawing of a lion. I mean, it was like 3D lion head coming out at you. It
like had taxidermy? Death.
No, it was metal, but
it was metal.
Oh, you could have said yes, and I would have believed you.
I mean, from all of the photos I've ever
wouldn't
seen,
rule anything
any kind of junket, any kind of press conference, any kind of song rollout, this sounds no different from how he usually is.
Everything is out of 10 all the time.
Had the same stylist since 2010.
Google says he's 6'4", and I'm skeptical. I mean, maybe.
Yeah, and Peter the Great was 5'2".
Yeah, all right.
Peter the not so great, huh?
That's in Russian feet. Something. All right. Let's start with some fun facts about 2016 that aren't about Philip Kirkorov, including the most important fact, which is that this was the first Eurovision to be broadcast on American television, which makes it the first one that matters. Woo.
Yeah,
I'd get more of a reaction than that.
I mean, okay. It was the problem, though, it was on Logo, which is a cable station that it's not universal.
You had to have premium cable for it. Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't do any promotion of it. And it seemed like the commentators didn't really know what was going on. Numbers were not great in terms of viewing. So yeah, it was certainly a step one. It wasn't the Netflix airing or the Peacock the Peacock stream that we have nowadays. But you have to start somewhere. Even though I feel like it had been broadcast on American television on like PBS and things like that years ago, like back in the 70s and 80s. I feel like it had been in the US at some point, but this is probably the first one in a long time that it had been. But it also meant that 2016 was also the first year that Eurovision was geo-blocked on YouTube for American viewers. Mm-hmm. Just the way the contracts worked out. So yay, but also boo.
Yep. And it remains that to this day. And everything since has been that to this day. Sometimes if you know where to look, I really don't want to get any like really nice YouTube channels shut down or other channels on other sites. But if you know where to look, sometimes you can find these things. And yeah, this can be a difficult one to watch here in the US, I guess is the,
especially since there's so much Justin point. Timberlake.
Yep, we did have Justin Timberlake here, and by here I mean there. I love the start of the interview where Petra is like, have you heard of Eurovision? And he said, I watched the last 2 years. And you know what? That's relatable. Because at this point, I had also watched the last 2 years. So
you're welcome.
We have that. Yeah, we have that in common. He knew about as much about the show as I did. And I appreciate that. Unfortunately, he had a much better arrangement for the show than I did. Sam and Derek, did you have any interactions directly or otherwise with Mr. Timberlake, or was there anything about his presence that you recall?
He didn't swing through the press center, and he didn't give any press conferences or anything like that. I think there was sort of a vibe that, you know, people were excited that he was there, a little bit confused, but I think once they kind of said that it was couched in the context of Sweden being a source of global pop music, and the song that he's about to sing is, you know, Swedish songwriters. Supposedly he was hanging out in the delegation bubble more than the press center, which makes sense. And a couple of the artists had some nice interactions with him. But yeah, it was just a little bit weird hearing Can't Stop the Feeling on, you know, radio incessantly since then, mm-hmm. and that it had its global premiere at Eurovision. And I prefer this one to Madonna's. That's for damn sure.
Well, that's a given. I feel like, yeah. Oh God. Well,
what was the rationale behind Madonna's act? Because, like, I don't know, Justin Timberlake being there is kind of tenuous to begin with.
I mean, for Madonna, it was in Tel Aviv. I think that was a part of it.
Yeah, I think it was just Israeli millionaire flexing muscle.
Yeah. That's kind of the vibe I got from it, yeah.
Yeah.
And Quavo, got Quavo.
That's Quavo. Cool.
I love that the 2019
Kabbalah
DVD
follower Quavo.
Yeah. The 2019 contest DVD just completely excludes the Madonna performance, and I love
it
that.
Does?
Yeah. It's perfect. It's the perfect presentation of that show. Anyway, yeah, JT was there, which was kind of cool. Good performance. Started out with Rock Your Body. Big international performances of Rock Your Body don't always turn out well for him, so it was okay that it's okay that this one did. And yeah, that was cool. The contest itself had 42 countries, which is close to the most we've ever had. There've been 43 there have been 43 three times, and there were supposed to be 43 this year. But then in like mid-April? Like it was very late in the process.
Yeah, it was very
late that they're in the program.
Yes, they're still in the program. We'll get to the program. Romania basically forgot to pay their Europe bill and they got fully removed from the EBU for a time, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was
which means you can't be in Eurovision. And I don't know that this song would have made a ton of waves. This is Moment of Silence, I think is what it was called.
Yep, a video Anton, yeah.
And so they didn't get to perform. They would have been, I don't know, possibly a non-qualifier, but we don't know. It's one of those gifts we get to argue about.
It was really last minute. So like just for the sake of context, the contest was held, like the semifinals were on May 10th and 12th. But the final on the 14th. I believe they announced Romania's kicking outing on April 22nd.
The kicky outie.
The kicky outie for Romania. Yeah, that was, yeah, it was really last minute. Like within.
Yeah, so I see.
Like, Ovidio would have been packing his bags to head to rehearsals at that point, practically.
April 22nd and semifinal one was on the 10th of May. It's 2 weeks functionally.
Mm-hmm. Which means rehearsals probably start around May 3rd.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, ooh. That's yeah. rough. A record for last minute removal until this year. And a record was set that probably will not be broken. Anyway, hopefully not. Moving on, we've got, let's see, what else we have? This was the first appearance of the current voting system, in which each country has 24 points to give out. The reveal of the votes was a little bit different, and this led to some interesting things. It made it so basically guaranteed at the end that we'd have kind of an interesting reveal. So the final split screen was between Ukraine and Russia. And
I wonder if anything was happening geopolitically in 2016 that would make that very interesting.
I don't think so.
Pretty quiet, really.
Those guys are pals. Pals for life. Anyway, let's see. It also meant because Poland finished last in the jury and like, or close to last in the jury, and was like fourth in the televote.
Let me get to there. Yeah. So in the jury, they were second to the bottom with 7 points from the jury. And they were third with the televoting.
Amazing.
So we're just sitting there watching the results come in and just thinking, did they forget Poland? Like, did somebody just like mess up their Excel spreadsheet and accidentally delete Poland from, like, there's no possible way. But
well, we have to remind everyone, this is like one of the 2 years where they did all the jury points first, and then they started from the bottom and gave out televote points. So regardless of kind of where you were in the jury order, they revealed them like by point ranking.
Yeah, they released the televote points in ascending order of televote points, not in ascending order of jury vote points.
Yeah,
right.
And that has, I was thinking about how that would have gone in like the last few years. I'm imagining like in 2022 when Kalush won, they would have been the last to get their points from the televote, and that 439 points would have been the last thing. That would have been pretty sick, if I'm being honest.
I'm going to say though, the last 2 years where the jury's basically overwhelmingly piled on the winner, kind of didn't matter who won the televote then,
right? And anybody who's sitting there and kind of knowing, not that many people are doing this, but if you know how many points are up for grabs, you can chip that off and kind of figure out, you know, noodle out what's possible and what is probable.
Yeah, so like this year, if you're doing the math and subtracting, you know, it is known exactly how many points are being given out. If you're subtracting as they're read out, you know, a minute before they say Baby Lasagna didn't have enough points, that he didn't have enough points and that Nemo's gonna win. I don't know, I kind of enjoyed this style of reveal. I don't know if I like it more than the way they currently do it.
I did like how they just rattled off everyone but the bottom 10 or the top 10.
Yeah.
So they just were like, this country, this many points, this country, this many points. There's like no pausing for dramatic.
Good. Effect. Good.
For 16 songs.
I wonder Swedish how that efficiency. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wonder how that sort of reveal would have gone in like 2021 when there were four countries that got nothing from the.
Where they just rattled them off?
They just say, or, you know, do they say, there are four countries that got 0 points?
No, they do one by one.
And
then everyone goes nuts. They go, these are the four countries that are going to be having the best time in the bar tonight.
Yeah.
Of which there was a nil pointer, at least in one half of the scoring. Czech Republic surprisingly got nothing from the televoting. Jury, Germany got one. Poor thing.
So it remind me how that was read off then. Did they say Czech Republic 0 points or did they?
Yes.
Or did they do it and then just quickly move on?
They would have moved on really quickly.
Okay.
Yeah. They didn't linger on any disappointed faces or anything like that. They kind of just
wow. Imagine not lingering on people's hearts being broken. I mean, couldn't that, be that us.
Certainly paid off. I remember in 2018 was the infamous Sweden 23 points. No, 21 points. They were 23rd.
Oh, beautiful.
But just the speed at which they read through those, you just didn't really register it. It's kind of wild. Mm. I can see why they changed it, but man, that was an interesting couple of years there.
Yeah.
Yeah. In terms of first appearances of things, this may also be maybe, and Sam, I am excited for you to correct me on this, is the first appearance of problems with the flag policy. And
I think I know what you mean.
Yeah. So remember there was a whole foo-for-ah about the flag policy this year, where people were being, I mean, security was being extra cautious for reasons. It led to at least one non-binary flag not being allowed in, and just some other really like strict things. Well, 2016 is the year where this sort of thing first reared its weird vexillological head, and a number of flag things came up. There's this infographic, right, that explains what flags you can have, and basically at the time it was a participating country, the European flag, or a pride flag, and that's basically it. And then initially in the infographic, there were some examples of things that were not allowed. And at least at one point, in one version of this graphic, they had put the Basque country flag next to the flag of ISIS.
And
yikes!
Wow. You can imagine how that went over. It was not popular. Eventually, there were some loosenings of this. They had said that, like, basically, if it's a flag that of a region that the participant is from or is close to, that's fine. And things were loosened up a little bit. But then we had during the show. Our good pal, who knows it might sound strange, Iveta Makuchian, held up the flag of Nagorno-Karabakh in the green room, I believe it was.
Yes, it was. It was during the voting recap, yeah.
And, well...
Which, granted, would be really very easy to sneak in, considering it is very, very similar to the standard flag of mm-hmm. the nation of Armenia.
Yeah. Just don't unfurl it the whole way.
Right, exactly. It's like, no, it's just the three colors. Nothing to see here. So that was awkward.
I noticed just about none of that. I thought you were going to talk about all the inexplicable Venezuelan flags being flown very close to the stage. Like, what's Venezuela doing here? Am I missing something?
The CIA got on the wrong plane.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
It was Hugo Chavez week at Eurovision. Love to celebrate that. I think we talked about this in one of our recap shows from this year. I don't like this policy. And I think, I obviously, like, no, you should not fly the flag of ISIS. I get that. But, yeah. but like, if there's a regional flag from your country and you're attending Eurovision and you're like proud that you're from, let's say, the Åland Islands or Sami, there was a Sami contestant in 2016 that was initially told you can't fly the Sami flag, and that was corrected. You should be able to bring those. Like you should within reason be able to fly just about anything. I should be able to fly an American flag.
And for a couple of years I did in the audience. Yeah. Like the handful of times that I was there for ticketed shows, I would bring an American flag and there was no problem with it. Granted, that was like 2011, 12, 13. You'd see Australian flags in there before, you know, Australia would take part. Canadian flags mm-hmm. I've seen in there. It's, but
day one at the press center this year, mm-hmm. and after seeing the things that were like, no flags unless it's a participating country, basically, the mm-hmm. table right next to us had a Turkish flag. I was like, interesting. But like, these things aren't hurting anyone, really, or they shouldn't be. And so... There was a lot of fun flag business in 2016, and that's that. Were there flag problems before this, Sam?
It's Eurovision. I can only assume there was.
I mean, there are certainly protests. I can't necessarily remember. The thing is, like, way back when, you wouldn't necessarily have people unfurling giant flags. It'd be, you know, the little flags on sticks while people are sitting. People are sitting there in their seats in their tuxedos and evening gowns. Maybe you'd have a little flag, but it's not the same audience now as it was, way back when. It's really just around the the mid-90s where things kind of really started to change. I'm trying to remember if there are any other... It's not like when Russia started to take part that somebody brought in a Soviet flag or anything like that. I can't remember anything like that. It may have happened, but not that I can remember.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's most of the just sort of the simple, basic, early facts about the contest. Why don't we get into the contest itself and some songs and talk about what happened? And here's what happened. Ukraine won.
Yay!
They beat. Yeah, spoilers. Should have said spoilers.
I have never heard of this little old indie song called 1944.
Over Australia, second place. Mm-hmm. And Russia in third place.
This is Australia's second year in the contest, right?
Correct.
And yes. Coming very, very close once again.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So going into the contest, I think the prevailing belief was that this was Russia's to lose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, there was definitely a lot of tailwind behind it. He was, you know, Sergei Lazarev is a very, very well-known star in Russia and in Russian speaking.
In the Russosphere.
Yeah, the Russosphere. Actually, he had tried to represent Russia years previous and came in, I want to say, second in a national final. It was a song that was supported by Philip Kirkorov, who's also well-known in the Russosphere. And, you know, we've mentioned him before. He's a bit of a character. It's kind of hard to ignore him. And then when we saw the staging... Which, again, if you haven't seen the staging for You Are the Only One, mm-hmm. whatever you think of the song, whatever you think of the artist, the country, whatever, the staging was spectacular.
Mm-hmm. It was my favorite Super Mario Galaxy level.
It was doing things that had never really been done before.
Took the things that Mons had done the year before and won with and just went, okay, what if we just use that to its fullest potential?
Yeah.
And spends as much money on this.
Yeah.
I mean, you said never been done before. It was the Mons thing just cranked up to 11. Yeah. If you haven't seen this, you should seek it out. And it basically, he climbs up a big thing of nothing. It really does seem like a magic trick, sort of a thing in terms of the level of the quality of the illusion. I understand conceptually how it worked, but I've yet to see a single video or even photo, I think, from any angle that really shows off how it works.
It really is impressive.
Yeah, I believe it's a mix of a couple of different things. There's projections and camera tree, because, I mean, there would be moments where he would be just stationary, but the camera would turn, so it would look like he's kind of twisting in the air.
Yeah.
I think the screen that he is kind of leaning up against, it's, if I remember correctly, was sort of a soft screen, and there were blocks kind of behind it that he could kind of press into and climb from there. I'm also having trouble finding photos. Again, you listening at home, if you know of any like camera work, let us know. We're genuinely curious.
All of the government issued photos of the screen have been scrubbed from the internet.
Right, exactly.
Well, I remember when we were there, somebody went to one of the rehearsals and went around the side and got a picture of him going up. So you could clearly see the screen in front of the blocks being pushed in.
Right. But
when you look at it from the front, you can't see the screen moving. Mm-hmm. It just looks flat.
Right. And the graphic was so busy, it's not like you could see a shadow of a
I mean, as long as you're looking at it head on, there's no way you'd know any angle to it. Suddenly you saw it kind of warp. I don't know how the hell they pulled that off, but man,
it was very, very well done. Yeah.
The screen isn't 100% vertical.
Correct.
So he can lean a little bit, and it's credit where it's due. It's a crazy staging. It's really cool. And I can see why people thought it would win. I took a look. Eurovision World does have the final betting odds from this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it is Russia by
a country mile.
Well, Australia kind of far behind. Ukraine in an extremely distant third.
Wow.
And then, if you're curious, Sweden, France, Armenia, Malta.
Yeah, Malta got a ton of love this year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she was a returning artist.
Mm-hmm.
Pregnant.
Yeah.
Actually, she announced
those pregnancy points.
So she actually announced that she was pregnant during the rehearsal week. And it's cute because her song was called Walk on Water, and you would have these little, you know, her her swag. I think they were giving out USB sticks, and it's hashtag WOW, which if you turn around, it becomes mom.
Mom?
But yeah, she announced during rehearsals that she was expecting, and which good on her for, you know, I mean, it's not like she was doing intense choreography, but she was decently far along in the pregnancy. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's remember too, that Malta, this was back when we got to see the first and second rehearsals.
Mm-hmm.
And the response to the first rehearsal was so bad that they not completely, but made significant changes to staging.
Yes.
On site, which was kind of remarkable. And we know a guy who's part of the team, and he kind of gave us a little bit of a breakdown. Nothing really serious, but they like called it an emergency meeting and just like hashed it out for hours. Remarkable that it turned out as well as it did.
Yeah, it's like, what can you change? You know, what are you flexible in, and how much credence do you give to the press take? And they were able to come up with something that ended up coming in fourth place with the juries and 12th place overall, which for Malta is fantastic.
That's very good. Yeah. Sam, do you know the answer to the question you just posed in terms of what can you change? I mean, the audio you can't.
No.
Like the backing track. I imagine the camera cuts are locked in place.
They can be subtly worked with. Those can be worked with. I mean, I remember being in the viewing room after Chris Kostov's rehearsals and just saying, hey, can you, you know, sharpen up this cut here or use this camera angle there? You can't really start from complete scratch, but you can definitely modify, tighten things up. You can change your outfits. Jamala did the same thing. Like, she actually rehearsed in her first rehearsals were in one outfit, her second rehearsal was in another. And in her second press conference, she's like, all right, you've seen them both. Which one do you like more? And we all picked the blue one.
And then what happened? Just kidding.
Tuned.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, what was the reaction like in the room to Ukraine winning? And it, obviously, this is Ukraine winning is fully combined with Russia losing, which is another thing people tend to like. But like, what was that like in those moments?
Remember when you were there to see Ukraine win?
I do.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that.
I mean, everybody knew that song was winning.
You mentioned Ukraine was kind of distant third in the betting odds. I remember talking to somebody who was keeping an eye on the betting odds during the show, and he said, yeah, Ukraine was not high up before the grand final, and it just climbed as the evening went on. So going into it, yeah, it felt like Russia was a foregone conclusion, and the only thing that really was kind of challenging it was France at the time in the lead-in.
What happened with France? I mean, that's such a great song and great performance that just didn't really connect, it seemed like.
I mean, the juries loved it.
Can't really connect. Came in sixth. I mean, that's a fantastic finish for a country that isn't France.
The problem is it isn't France.
I know.
It very nearly, like, it jumped to, like, the front of the betting odds, or at least near the top, I remember. I remember thinking, this is a real shot this could win.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was going to win.
Yeah.
Or I thought it could.
Some people found the staging a little bit underwhelming.
Yes, I'll say that.
He was solo on stage. It looked a little bit empty. But I will say he was one of the loveliest people I've ever interviewed.
His energy, though, he didn't need anybody else, I felt
No. But I mean, you don't necessarily need anybody else, but you also don't want to make the stage feel empty.
Yeah.
I mean, camera angles, you know, it's one thing to highlight the stage and make things look impressive and expansive, but you also don't want it to look desolate.
I will say, this is my first time really watching this contest in full at all. When he came out during the flag parade, I was like, wait, is that Mickey? He looks so much like Mickey that I thought it was just like, I didn't know that was a returning artist. And by so much like Mickey, I mean, it's the most attractive man I've seen in a long time.
Interviewing him was great.
I had the same reaction with, I think it's Freddie from Hungary.
Oh, yes.
I thought he was Uku Suvisa.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Freddie was also lovely to interview.
Is that right? You gonna be okay over there? Do you need a moment?
I'm just gonna have a
2016. Moment. It was the year of the super hunks.
Oh my god!
Steamy in Stockholm in 2016. Honestly.
That was a year full of just beautiful people.
Mm-hmm. And Richard Osman was doing the points for. So I mean, my god.
I mean, we had all of these extremely hunky or like boy toys. And then we had Peter Pan's nemesis himself singing for Poland. We really had something.
Amazing hair.
I mean, it was Captain Morgan. It was, you know, to unspool all of your jokes right now. I can't believe that song performed as well as it did. That was Poland. What was the name of that song? That was
The Color of Your Life.
What color is your life?
Michał Stock, who's
really
who's in Poland, has had a lasting career, is still very popular.
Oh, for real?
He was huge before that. Like, there was nothing about the song that deserved as many points as it got. And oh my
no
god,
way, no way, no way. Yeah,
he wasn't really particularly huge before then. So yeah, he was a participant in the first season of the X Factor Poland. He didn't win, but he was like a finalist. He'd had a couple of concerts. He was in the, you know, Polish Dancing with the Stars that year, and had done some festivals, but really only released his first studio album in like 2015. So just the year before.
So he was a bright young thing.
He was, but he wasn't like super, super well established. He was, you know, he was Bo Bice.
Oh my God, Bo!
I'm just thinking about, you know, other finalists in singing competitions with great hair, and that reference is what came to mind.
I haven't had to. So here's the thing: somebody brings up Bo Bice in conversation like maybe once every 3 or 4 years, and every single time it does, everyone is like, "I haven't had to think about Bo Bice in 3 or 4 years."
And I've taken care of that for the next year.
Nobody cares. Let me know in 2028 when I would talk about Bo Bice again.
It's definitely been more than 4 years for me.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's quite the reference. Can I say something controversial?
You can.
Going into this final, I really, really did not see 1944 as a potential winner. And don't get me wrong. It's a great song and it's a phenomenal performance. I'm still a little surprised that it won the contest.
You know what it is, Eric? And I feel like I say this at least about one song every single year. Sounds like nothing else. Sounds like nothing else at this one. I also said this at the 2008 contest or the Hard Rock Hallelujah year there's a shocking amount of conformity in terms of sort of like the construction or vibe of all of the songs. This year, it was like we went to Stockholm and it was like everyone needed to have that Swedish sound. I have to wonder if this is the moment at which the great Swedish zit popped on the face of Eurovision and people really started to rebel against it, because it was like every other song had that Avicii feel, Avicii, you know, diet Swedish House Mafia. So much of it sounded like that. It all had that flavor that I had to wonder if we just got to a point, seeing all of these songs together, that everyone who encountered 1944 gave it the time of day that it deserved.
I mean,
I think really quick, it goes back to something you also said earlier, which is you feel good voting for it.
You feel good. It feels good to vote for this song right now. Yeah.
I think that 1944 had a sense of honesty. And
it came from a real emotional place.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was singer-songwriter led. You know, Jamala was the composer and the songwriter for this. It wasn't, you know, a studio track that was shopped to her. It was her and her story and her language. We'd never had the Crimean Tatar language represented before. And she sang the hell out of it. Like, she has a very commanding presence. She was pitch perfect every single time we heard her sing it. I mean, Derek, like, I remember I don't do this often, but I remember the first time that I heard the song.
Oh yeah, I was there.
Yeah, Derek, you and I were walking into book club.
Well, we watched it. We watched the national final.
Yeah, we were. Yeah, her performance. We were like driving to the Tea Source in Eden Prairie, and I'm like, all right, I don't want to walk in yet because I'm still listening to this song. And then she hit that high note. That whistle tone by the end. I'm like, crap, we're going to Kyiv next year, aren't we?
We kind of gave each other a knowing look, like, oh, that's it.
Yeah, like this has something special.
And it's a kind of a testament to that idea. Like, it hits every single mark that it needs to. Like, the staging is incredible. The performance is incredible. Her physicality in the performance, even like her, like you could see the emotion on her face and the way she moves and the camera work, all of it, like everything worked. I feel like there were a few countries this year that really came in like wanting to win. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, Russia, obviously, I think Ukraine definitely showed up and said, no, we can do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. For the record, Ukraine finished second in the jury and second in the televote. So they did pretty well in both. Australia, they won the jury in a landslide, 320 points.
Yes. Yeah.
Which was incredibly well deserved.
Yeah. And I think a big part of that was for Australia was everything that came before it. And I mean, literally every song.
Where were they in the running order? Remind me, because it was like it really was like marking time until Australia performed. It really felt like
France was before her, but that's one of the only like big notable.
Bulgaria was earlier than her.
Yeah. We opened with Belgium, which is that fun song that's not going to win. It's the perfect song for that spot. Czech Republic, Netherlands, Azerbaijan, Hungary, Italy, another good one.
Yeah.
Israel, Bulgaria, Sweden was there. Germany, France, Poland.
Sweden was there.
But here's my other controversial take is in hindsight, I don't think this was a very strong year. Like really? the top 6 or 7 or 8 songs in terms of what I like are good. There are some songs in this final that I am really surprised made the final.
I was looking at the semifinals and I'm like, well, you know, so we're doing a top 5 later. I looked at the semis and I'm like, okay, did anything not qualify that I genuinely liked? Nope. Moving on.
let me look back at the ones that missed out.
I have one.
Well, we could talk about that. Serhat as much as we want.
I mean, you said you liked Calliope, but Calliope did not.
Yeah, Calliope. Yeah, I mean, but then again,
narrowly,
Donna was not Serenoe Bello. It was you know, come back with a stronger song than he'd previously been with, and it just didn't match up.
It didn't feel like her heart was in it really either.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were shocked that Iceland didn't qualify.
That was an early favorite too.
Yeah,
not to win, but to like do exceptionally well.
I still love Estonia. I'm not sure if it's just me being a Steve Rassi fan, but
the Poots didn't make it.
In play. Yeah, I think that was underappreciated.
Easy to say underappreciated because it came dead last.
Yeah, you couldn't appreciate it less.
No, such a talented guy though. Really amazing voice.
Mm.
Really nice. We ran into him at the Dawa Bar.
Oh yeah,
there was a Dawa Bar.
Yeah,
he rented out a bar like not far from our Airbnb, and some of the artists would just come and hang out, and we ran into him and didn't really talk to him, but man, really nice guy.
Yeah.
Did you have to slow down?
Yeah,
like get in.
No, anyway. You had to walk up to the bouncer, say nothing, and stare at him silently for about 10 seconds, and then he finally let you in.
Oh, sure.
Are we talking about that?
Yeah. So let's see. We've got. I'm just looking at some of this stuff in the final that just doesn't move the needle at all. I know that there's usually a dud or two in every final, but this year just feels like it has more of them than usual. I don't know. But getting back to Australia.
Yes.
Like we went through basically half the show without a serious contender. Poli Genova ended up fourth,
which
I think was a bit of a surprise.
Not really. No, she came in as not a favorite, but definitely like one to watch as one of the fun songs, a returning artist from a country that had been absent for a couple of years. A lot of eyes were on Polly.
But fourth, though.
That was a definite surprise, especially to the delegation. But it set things up nicely for what was going to happen in 2017.
That is true. That is very, very true. And we get literally the halfway point of the show. We get Australia. Mm-hmm. With an absolute showstopper of a vocal, we haven't really had anything close to this up till this point, and it's just wonderful. I guess the question I'm gonna ask. We talked a little bit about why Ukraine won, and fair. Why didn't this win, and why didn't Russia, who was such a big favorite and also had amazing staging and blah blah blah, why didn't either of those win? What was it that made these ones fall short?
Well, one, it's Australia.
And I struggled in the televote, and it really seems like there are people who are never going to vote for Australia because...
This is also only their second year. So I feel like they have a little bit more goodwill now, but for some reason, as if you look at their trajectory, they're just constantly moving down, which I don't understand because they open strong, they nearly win the whole thing, and then every year after that, they just kind of dip a little further. I don't think people were ready for this to win, just kind of regardless. I think vocally it was phenomenal. She never faltered. I mean, she had effortless. It was effort, like watching her sing, like hitting these notes, and it was just like no trouble at all for her, which was incredible. Yeah, I don't know. It is kind of one of those weird things. I think if a different country had sent it, yeah, it probably could have won.
I mean, it could have also been the fact that Ukraine came later on in the running order.
Mm.
Yeah, that could have partially been a little bit of it, of if you have these two ballads, both of them impeccably sung, but one of them has a bit more of an ethnic flair, or, you know, has a backstory that resonates. It could be one of many things.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And we should point out, it was not a commanding win. It's 23 points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very
close. Pretty close.
And there was apparently a voting. One of the juries had a voter that voted in reverse, which seems like it happens once every couple of years. in theory.
Oh, so they voted for Pat Buchanan by mistake.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why Pat Buchanan got 12 from the Croatian jury or whatever.
That's right.
Had it been correct, I don't think any placements would have changed. No meaningful placements would have changed anyway.
No.
Jamala still would have won. It would have been by 9 points instead of 23.
Oh,
that's a dip.
What a razor's edge, wow. Honestly, Eurovision. Yeah.
So it was indeed close. I mean, the jury's tanked Russia.
Going back to your second question, why didn't Russia win? It was like, well, the juries didn't want to. And I have to wonder, like, well, what did they do wrong? Because if we're going by like performance and all that, I mean, he sang it incredibly well. Sure, it looked, even though it was kind of a rehash of the year before, it's still phenomenal to look at, and it did a lot of things above.
I don't want to say that the jury was thinking what I have always thought about this song, but I always think that these lyrics are incredibly hokey, and this is some of the most, I don't know, Mad Libsy songwriting that you could do. I think these English lyrics are, it's hokey. That's all I say. I don't think there's a shred of genuineness in this song.
Same number of jury points, by the way, as What's the Pressure?
Really?
Which is, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Tied.
Good.
Tied for fifth.
This is one of those times when I'm definitely like, I don't understand what the jury's criteria is at all. Like, even if, like, okay, lyrics aside, we've had songs win.
No, we can't talk about the jury lyrics as a monolith. It's country to country.
Looking at everything, like, I understand why Australia won the jury. Mm-hmm. Like, as a vocal performance, it was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I don't think lyrically it was really that deep or anything. It had a narrative, but still, I can't, like, this is a performance that I show people when they ask what Eurovision is. Because it's, like, just one of those examples of this is how it can be. Mm-hmm. When it's firing on every cylinder.
I mean, what do people look for when they make these selections, especially from a jury's point of view? Is it the performance? Is it the vocals? Is it the artistic merit? Is it the songwriting? Is it? It's one of many, many things. And
you hope they are considering it all holistically. You really do.
Yeah. They're not.
Yeah. And plus,
they definitely are not.
Plus, on top of that, there is the natural human factor of, I don't want to vote for Russia, or, you know, I don't want to vote for X or Y country.
I'm not going to vote for the song that talks about how thunder and lightning are getting exciting. Like,
yeah,
maybe that was the reasoning.
I don't want to think that. I mean, I understand they're people and they have their biases, and we can easily identify those over the years. I don't want to think, though, that there have been times when the jury was deliberately planning on sinking a song.
Right, agreed. It probably
has happened.
Yeah.
I was curious just now. This is an entirely different contest, but Zero Gravity.
Sure.
Another one with just ridiculous staging.
Mm-hmm.
And very good vocals, better than Sergei's, if we're being honest. Sixth in the jury.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with that one.
I mean, people might just not necessarily have connected with operatic styling, but I don't know.
Chinggis's Truth finished ahead of it.
Granted, that might be
I kind of liked that better than Zero Gravity.
I want to say we did in our not our first episode. It was the second episode we ever did. It was just me and Danny. We did a preview of the 2019 final, and I predicted that Australia was going to win that. I just thought the staging was too good.
What did I say?
I was thinking that too, actually.
Well, we didn't pick Arcade because neither of us.
I didn't get it. I still don't get it.
Yeah.
Probably said Spirit in the Sky.
I remember in 2019. there was somebody we talked to who was convinced it was not going to win.
Arcane,
yeah.
I can't remember who it was, but yeah.
I just remember like watching the rehearsals and they just went like, no, that's not winning. There's absolutely no way.
It just flew under all of the radars and all the orbs. And
what if Slovenia won that year?
What if Slovenia won any year?
Just with some chill.
Yes, please.
Chill synth pop.
Anyway, we're talking about 2016.
We are.
All right. So we need one interesting fact about Ukraine before I think we get into our tops five of the year. This is the first of two consecutive years in which the winner did not compete in the previous year. Mm-hmm. So Ukraine sat out 2015, came back and won. Portugal was sitting out 2016. And we know what happened. Yeah.
Right.
And I don't know. I think that's just kind of a fun fact.
I thought about Jamala for a second. I'm like, none of them competed the year before. What are you talking about? All
right. Okay. Let's do faves, shall we? Let's do some faves.
All right. Yeah. We're just going around fifth place to first place.
Let's.
All right. Cool. Who wants to start off?
Oh, jeez. Sam, I feel like you never start us out. You start us out this week.
Okay, fine. I had a decently easy time picking a top five, even though I do have a bunch of honorable mentions. I'll get to those at the end. So I put my fifth place as Love Wave, Armenia. Love it. It might be one of the most effortlessly sexy songs ever to make it to the Eurovision stage. Mm-hmm. It is gorgeous. I'm sad that it only lasts 3 minutes. That's what she said. That's where I am for my one point, my fifth place for this. Armenia, Love Wave, Evita Mukuchyan. Gorgeous. Seriously, my God, gorgeous. Who's next?
I'll go next. We'll go in that order. I'm just going to briefly mention him as my honorable mention, just because I think he'll get no love. But is it Duve Bob Dawa. From the Netherlands?
Dawa.
I thought that was a...
Like Dowager.
I see Dawa Bob. That is a perfectly serviceable little song that is a nice little oasis of quality in the first third of this contest. My real number five is France. That's where I'm putting Luché Cherché. I have to agree. Something just not there, even though on paper it seems like it should have been fantastic. There is something missing. It wanted to be a little bit more spectacular.
Well, all right.
Follow that up. My number five is Dawa Bob.
Dawa Bob.
Dowager
Bob,
Empress Bob.
The Bob Dowager, yeah.
Bob Dowager. I thought this one was a lot of fun. I thought he was super charming. And I'm just going to tell a really quick story. It was like a dress rehearsal. I think it was the jury show. He gets to that 10 seconds. And this is like the first time he hasn't had a big audience. And he gets to that pause right before the final bit. And he just turns to the side, points at someone in the audience and goes, I love you too, baby. And wow. The crowd goes ballistic. And then the sun kicks
that in. Woman, that woman was rushed to the hospital. She died. <with that. laughs>
Ovaries exploded. It was
they had to get a cleaning crew out there just to
God.
this was just whatever you thought of the year musically, this was just a visually fantastic
this was a Tiger Beat magazine kind of year.
There was something for everybody, really.
Oh wow.
Eric.
Yeah, all right. I'm gonna give a quick honorable shout out to Joe and Jake from the UK.
Sure.
This was a song that didn't do a ton for me, like when the studio version was released. But I'm a sucker for harmonies, and the ones they added for the stage are amazing. Like it sounds 10 times better on the Eurovision stage than the studio version, and it is a delight as a result of that. And it came very close to being my fifth place. But it didn't. My fifth place is a song that has not come up yet. And I say this with apologies to our very own Samantha Ross, who I know doesn't like this song. It's Ireland.
I don't mind it.
It's Nikki Byrne's Sunlight. Yeah. I think it is a, not to put too fine a point on it, but it's a ray of sunshine. It's a very fun, happy song. I don't endorse touch who you wanna. That part's
yeah, get consent, people.
Yeah. But I think it's just a really fun, happy song. And sometimes that's all you need. And I like it a lot.
You know, honestly, Eric, for a second, I was worried you were going to bring up Serhat. I didn't know. I really thought.
Pee inside your mind. I got to say, I'm addicted. But the man's a freaking legend. So yeah, I have no idea if any of you other three are going to have Serhat anywhere on your list. But I feel like, yeah, we just need a moment to honor the Serhat and also honor the fact that the San Marinese delegation decided to pivot and that they had the original slow, lugubrious version of I Didn't Know. And then it was decided, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was my friend Elaine who started tweeting and starting the campaign of, can you just do a disco remix of this?
And no, they released that a disco remix and everybody liked it.
Yeah. It's like, let's do the disco remix instead. And the San Marinese must have been listening. And
good on that
song has been also re-recorded with disco legend Martha Wash. And then we got Serhat again in 2019. So
she's the one who told us to everybody dance now.
Everybody dance.
And boy, did it ever work. It went from definitely not qualifying to still not qualifying, but we like the
legend.
Song.
But legend.
Yeah. It was not too far off.
Sam, I think we're back to you.
All right. My 2 points, my number four of the 2016 contest, I'm going to have to give this to Bulgaria. If Love Was a Crime, it's a bop. It is joy. It is, Polly is just so engaging and fun. I'm sure part of it is the fact that I had met her before in 2011 and, just seeing Bulgaria return to the contest, with a song that just did so well and was just so joyous and uplifting and positive. I gotta love it. So Bulgaria gets my 2 points here. Danny, were you next?
I can't give it any points because it's If Love Was a Crime, and we know that if the Swedes could say were this year correctly, then why couldn't the Bulgarians? Anyway, my number four is Jamala. That's where I put Ukraine. So I'm not going to get into it, but now everyone gets to be on tenterhooks thinking about what the three songs are that I like better than 1944. Audience, lock in your votes now as we go over to Derek.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Derek.
Really quick, my number four is France, J'ai Cherché. Absolutely adore this song. I still listen to it this day. Though I like the Eurovision edit significantly more than the studio edit. The original.
Yeah.
CD version. I'm not sure why the staging didn't or the performance didn't really work. I don't know what was missing. I know a lot of people seemed disappointed when they actually saw it for the first time, but I don't know, quite like it. Eric?
It's an art, not a science.
My number four is Dami Im, Sound of Silence.
What?
Just at amazing.
Four, you
just
say.
Amazing, amazing vocal. And throughout the semis and through to the end, she seemed to be adding more, like Simone Biles just putting more degrees of difficulty on it.
Yeah.
And yep, nailing it every single time. I am just still kind of in disbelief that this didn't win. It's just with respect to 1944, the utmost respect to 1944, and to Jamala, who has used that song and her platform to great effect ever since, especially in the last couple of years.
Yep.
The fact that this didn't win is crazy to me. It's just, it's kind of how I feel about Voila.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember watching Voila during the final and being like, that's a Eurovision winning performance. It is. And then it didn't win.
All right. So my third place, this is where I put France. I love this. Like I said, it's positivity, it's joy, it's charming. It's a nice balance of being obviously French without being stereotypically French, which I appreciate.
Yes, because he sings in English for a little bit.
A little bit. But yeah, we've talked about Amir and this song, and it's just joy and light, and yeah, love it. So yeah, Danny, what about you?
Okay, my number three, I'm going to talk about another dreamboat that we haven't mentioned yet. My number three is Latvia, I'm putting Yeusts here. I really, really like this song. I'm so sorry. I'm going to bring up one other thing. Derek is making faces right now, and listeners, I wish you could see. I think this was the last year that the ultra skinny jean was still really in, because man, he's wearing a really tasteful leather jacket, but those, I swear to God, he's wearing stilts. Like,
it's didn't actually have legs; they were just.
It's like he was wearing a green screen for legs, and they just put stick figures down there. Like, this is a bad time for fashion. Successive generations are gonna drag the millennials for making the ultra skinny jean a thing. And let me tell you, it was like a mannequin with cigarettes for legs. Derek, go over there.
My number three is Bulgaria. I think this one is great. I don't know if I got a sense that this was gonna do as well as it was. I thought it would do like fine, but. Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic, and she was great. I loved going to her press conferences. She is a character.
She's amazing.
I think, like, seeing it on the screen, too, it was like Sunstroke Project's Hey Mama. Like, you're watching it, and it's just, it's great, and it's fun, and it's fantastic, and they're doing it so well, and you can tell they're having a great time, and it's just kind of infectious, but you're in the back of your mind, you're like, this isn't going to do too well, and then suddenly it does. So go figure.
I've just always had a hard time getting over the line, if love was a crime, then we would be criminals.
I fully admit that. That's not
a terrible lyric.
And it's like one of the first impressions of the song that you get, too.
If love was a crime, then uh-oh. Anyway. I made it worse. My number three, this is where I put France. Imagine that. I feel like I know where some of these top ones are going. France, what's that to say? I think I said earlier that I really thought that it could win. For the longest time, this was either my favorite song from this year or my second favorite. And it's my third now. But he is just so incredibly charming. And the song it has this weird way of being accessible while still being French, which is exactly what you want if you're France. Those are the things you need. And he released an album with this on it. Derek, you had mentioned there was an album cut. I don't really have a strong opinion on one version versus the other, but I do quite enjoy the album that this is on. It has a few other songs that are really, really fun as well. So maybe if you really like this song, maybe check that out. It's pretty much entirely in French. So, you know, deal with it. And that's what I got. Sam, back to you.
All right. I've had a really hard time deciding which of my top two is two and which is number one, because they are so different from each other. It really just depends on my mood. If you ask me the same question in 10 minutes, I might pick the other one. But as you are speaking to me right now, I am going to give my 4 points, my second place. This is where I'm putting Ukraine. We've spoken so much about 1944 and what it, you know, the technical aspect of it, the visuals, the vocals, the story, the narrative, the songwriting. I don't want to beat a dead horse here. But it's perfection. It's gorgeous. And having heard her perform it live in a small venue here in Minnesota, where I was probably, you know, 20 feet away from her as she belts it out, it's still so powerful. And she still sings it so, so well. This song was just magic for me. But if you would ask me, like I said, 10 minutes from now, I may have put it at number one, but come back to me in a bit.
I think I know what your number one is then. Oh, I'm excited, but we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see.
Danny.
My number two is Sound of Silence. Don't know what else to say except what is my number one? Derek.
My number two is Sound of Silence.
Yes. Oh, Derek, what if we have the same number one?
We might.
Derek.
That knowing eyebrow raise.
Eric, well, what if we all have the same number one?
Well, it's no. It's
I doubt it.
Well, you know my number two isn't Sound of Silence because that was my number four, sir. I believe my number two is a song that has not been mentioned at all in this. Okay. But I don't think it's gonna be the last time it's going to be discussed.
Bring it, lay it on us. What you got, Eric?
It's Nika Kucherov and Young Georgia and Lolita's Midnight Gold from Georgia. Georgia! Georgia! Oh my God. This song is amazing. I definitely kind of overlooked this at the time. And I think early on, one of the early episodes of this show, this song came up. And Sam found a video of the performance, and it was the thing that I hadn't thought about in years at that point. And I felt really bad that I'd spent all of these years not listening to this song that I could have. It's like when everyone learned about Nick Drake in like 2006, and he'd been dead for 30 years. And we're like, oh, we could have spent this whole time listening to Nick Drake, and we didn't. We're all a bunch of jackasses. Anyway, that's how I felt about this. This song is great. It's another, the staging is awesome. It's very much like, what is it called? Lights Off or Lights Out? Lights Off. Yeah. From Czech Republic, in that nothing super fancy, they just turn on all the lights and do a whole bunch of crazy crap, and it looks cool. But the song is great; it has a great build to it. It's fantastic, and yeah, if you haven't thought about this song in a while, I recommend checking it out. And one of these guys was in Circus Mercus.
Yes,
Circus or Mercus? Or Flarkus.
He was Flarkus.
He was the Irku.
He was Marcus and Flarkus, yes.
Okay, all right. Anyway, that's my number two. And Sam?
Take us home.
Take it away.
It's your number one.
It's Georgia.
Yes! I knew it.
Okay, so my number one is also Georgia. Derek, is your number one also Georgia?
No.
Oh, no. All right. Well, Sam and you and I both putting Georgia here at number one.
It's the kind of stuff that I wish... I mean, Georgia for a while would kind of go through this sort of swing of sending a song for Eurovision and then sending something completely outlandish and hoping it landed. And I was so shocked and thrilled that the song landed. And it landed so hard and so well. And then Richard Osman announced that they got their 12 points from, you know,
12 from the UK Taste Kings.
Because this is just, it's Britpop. This is the song that, like, I wish that, you know, Blur had released.
These are guys in a band playing songs.
Yes, and their other stuff is great too. And it didn't take itself seriously. They flouted the rules a little bit, and you know, changed the lyrics up at the very end. And they were supposedly, you know, kind of spanked on the wrist for it. But I think that they didn't expect that they were going to qualify, and then they did it again in the final because F it, why not? I love this song. I crank it, lower the windows, just yes, all the things. Danny,
there's a couple of things that they do in their performance that I think are rather commonplace, or certainly not unusual these days, but they seem to really stick out at the time, was that they did a lot of in camera stuff, like sort of like doing like the layered, they did like a sort of like
the mirror
in frame, like I have a tough time describing it, but a lot of stuff that you could only do through the power of TV. Just a lot of fun framing stuff, zooms and sort of overlays on their own frames. Very funky, cool stuff that you weren't seeing from basically 95% of the other acts there. If you out there are like me and are a fan of the Måneskins and the Jokers out, who just are some guys on stage playing guitars and having fun and playing some nice, just pure rock, then yeah, this is the song for you. Derek, who'd you pick?
My number one should be no surprise.
I think it's the wave.
It was a song that was like a favorite to win, and then you know, just kind of.
Oh my god! So you really like Russia?
So
your number
it's
one,
Poland.
What? Okay,
and Margaret's "Cool Me Down."
Ah!
I think that was just a phenomenal song.
Oh man.
My number one is Love Wave, obviously. Come on.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Didn't even have to like put any suspense on it. It's a fantastic song and I still love it. And she is adorable.
We gotta find that one interview.
No.
I don't see it. I will never see it.
That's fine.
I didn't see it when watching this again. I don't like this song. You're wrong.
Okay.
Eric, you also have Love Wave at number one, don't you?
I sure do. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It was close. It's close between those two.
Oh yeah.
For me, I feel like she was pretty pitchy in the final.
She was. I will.
Not a great.
I feel like that probably cost her a spot or two in the standings. In the semi, she was perfect. Like, it's an unbelievable performance. Watching that video for the first time, this was at Sam's old flat in St. Paul, Minnesota, home of Suni Lee.
And Tim Walls.
Tim Walls. Oh man, can't wait. Side note, just once. I need to see footage of Tim Walz mowing the White House lawn. Moving on.
Teaching his daughter how to do jumper cables on the driveway of 1600.
On Air Force One, yeah. anyway, yeah, this is phenomenal. I will never forget. It's one of only, I think, a couple of instances in which hearing a song for the first time made me gasp with something.
Yeah.
And it was on the high note, obviously. The staging for this was really cool with like the holograms and the fire. And the singing and dancing. And, you know, it was just, yeah.
The cat suit.
The close-ups, the camera.
Yeah, it was,
the curves.
Mm-hmm, yeah, a little bit of that. Yeah, yeah. When the camera was close, when the camera was far away, when the movie's a little too loud. And Love Wave was so good. Danny, I'm flipping you off again. Jesus.
want to give a quick... This is,
Love Wave. Shut up.
Wanted to give a quick moment of shout out my also rans, my honorable mentions. Australia was up there. Belgium for just sheer fun.
It's really
for just
fun.
Being a great show opener.
Yep.
Still
going to be in my top 10.
What's that, Derek?
I was going to say Belgium. Even though they opened the show, they still came 10th, which is very respectable.
For really solid.
Pretty good.
Serbia, I thought that, you know, this is the first time that we'd seen Za. Sanja Vucic, who we would then later see as part of Hurricane. I thought that Shelter was really a good ballad, but just totally overshadowed by a couple others. And then, like, we haven't talked about Italy at all, and I think Francesca Michelin's No Degree of Separation is stunning and really, really gorgeous. But any other also-rans that you want to give a quick shout-out? Stuff we haven't talked about before?
Just the Dowager Bob.
Yeah. Derek, you gave no points to Young Georgia and Lolitas?
They were up there. Georgia and Ukraine.
I really
wanted to give points to, but I just, like, for me personally, it just wasn't.
Ukraine did not a lot for me either. I also want to give a quick shout out, not because it was good, but because the kid was insane. It's the wolf kid.
Belarus.
Yeah. Oh, Ivan.
Ivan will help you fly. He wanted to be... one, he wanted to be naked. Two, he wanted to have a live wolf on stage. two wrongs did not make a right in the case of this. It was kind of a fun song. I don't know if there are any really others. Somebody mentioned Iceland, kind of surprisingly tanking 14th in its semifinal. I think that one was maybe even another victim of, she's just ripping off Mons.
Yeah, there was a lot of that.
With the staging.
Well, they're also in the same as Russia, too, which certainly didn't help.
Yeah. Other than that, I don't know. Not really.
All right, so if you were keeping score at home, or if you weren't keeping score, our results are as follows. 1 point apiece going to Ireland and the Netherlands.
Woo!
3 points heading over to Latvia, 5 points for Bulgaria, Ukraine at 6 points, France at 9 points, Australia getting the bronze with 10 points, Armenia with 11 points, just edging them out for the silver, and on top, it's Georgia, Young Georgia and Lolitas with 14 points for the four of us. So
I'm good with that.
Yeah. So as much as we praised Russia an hour ago, it got no points.
Yeah, I didn't praise them.
I'm just curious. If you had done like a full ranking, about where does Russia end up for you, do you think?
For
you know,
me?
Out of the 42 songs that year?
Yeah.
11th, 12th maybe for me? Like,
I was kind of thinking
that's
like
just the final.
About top 10, maybe slightly below.
I'd put it in the top 10.
Out of the 42 songs that year, I'd probably put it somewhere mid-table. It's just not what I normally listen to. 20th, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not something that really resonates with me. I totally respect the visual artistry.
Yeah, the performance is great, but unfortunately my ears still work.
as a song, if you listen to it divorced from any presentation, it's not, there's nothing there, really.
You are right.
Exciting, but oh my God, to look at it, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah.
It is.
That's why I chose Latvia, which is nice to listen to and look at.
Meh. I don't know what that one pissed me off. Is that the one?
No, you are the one.
Yeah, oh, the only one.
Only one.
I guess.
All right. couple quick things to mention here. Somehow we got through this whole thing without mentioning Love, Love, Peace, Peace.
We've talked about it 30 times on the show.
Exactly. This did have that. It's great. If somehow you've listened to this show and don't know it, check it out. It's quite funny. And Linda Woodruff was in this.
Yeah, she was. Awesome.
Oh, yeah. I was surprised. I had no idea that that was sort of like a thing.
Also, this, I will also say, this is just a quick note that I made in the in our show notes, the show knows here, that this contest, as much as I kind of ratted on earlier, is particularly based because it put Refused on Eurovision for about 2 seconds. New noise, baby. That's great. It was part of a montage of the history of Swedish music, and I honestly came away quite impressed at, like, it's like, oh yeah, Eagle Eye Cherry was Swedish, or
Peter Bjorn and John were Swedish.
Yeah, like, yeah, wow, yeah. Okay. Like, there are so many of these like little things that a lot of good moments, which is a really good thing to do when you're doing a compilation like that. Okay, it's a long show. I want to read you just a couple of things from the Eurovision program in 2016. This is back before. This is going to be worth it. That was back before the EBU could afford a copy editor.
I've forgotten how bad that was until you mentioned that.
It's rough. Yeah. Here are some things that appear in this book. I'm going to read a thing. This will be like, you know how, like, when we get our friends' reviews and I read you some quotes about the songs and you have to guess which song it is. This is basically going to be like that, only way, way worse. So let's see. We'll start with an easy one, shall we? This is a quote from one of the artists. See if you can guess which one. Robbie Williams is a fan of our music.
Is that Joe and Jake?
It sure is.
God.
This is one I really like. I get terrible stage fright every time. Doesn't matter whether I'm performing in front of two people or 200. Boy, I have bad news for this person.
I was going to say Agneta from Norway, maybe?
No, I mean,
that's not something to make light of.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't make fun of her. Yeah. Not like this, anyway.
You'd like to make fun of? Oh, it's Polly Genova.
No, it's... this one is actually, there are a couple of quotes like this of people that are like, I don't know about getting on stage, which is kind of weird when you're doing a quote for your Eurovision book. But this is another song that I don't think we've mentioned at all. It's Jamie Lee from Germany.
Yeah.
Said that.
Oh, another unfortunate last placer.
Yeah, that's a fun song. You know that? Like, the aesthetic and everything is weird, but I, yeah, she also,
oh, yeah,
says,
she looks like she just arrived from DashCon.
Here's one. I do not think there is a high chance of other entries using any kind of whistle.
I
don't remember.
It wouldn't be Greece.
No, I actually don't remember there being any whistling in this song, so I don't understand the meaning of this. This is Freddie from Hungary.
Oh yes,
there was a whistle. Yeah,
is there? Oh, okay,
yeah,
forgot about that.
Fair enough. So. Oh, this is a great one, too. This is a fun quote. It's a way of singing, which is a bit special, with exclamations.
It is a way of singing.
It also notes that this person is director of a comical soap opera with great success.
Jesus,
this is Ivan from Belarus, is it?
What is going on here?
This book is great. Shout out to Sam for getting me this book back when.
Yeah, is it Spain with the weird dancing?
Nah, this one is Eneda Tarifa from Albania.
Oh, yes.
She
sings with exclamations. Okay. Let's get to the ones that don't even make sense, because they're the best ones. All right. I'm going to read this one exactly as it's written. Don't blame me. The Eurovision Song Contest is brining all the people together. Oh, I'm sorry. Ooh. Brining all the best people together.
Ooh. Salty. Wow. So yeah, I was gonna say premium pickles.
I don't expect anyone to actually know this. I just want to know that Rika from Switzerland is brining everybody together.
I was gonna say
the best one.
The Swedes do. It's Franz.
All right. You ready for the showstopper though?
Oh dear. Uh-oh.
This is my best. This is the best one. See what country this is from. It's the second time I participates in the Eurovision Song Contest for Latvia.
Is it Lithuania?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Sure is. Thanks, book. It's the first, the second time he participated.
That was Donnie Montel Williams.
Mm-hmm. He's been waiting for this night.
Yeah, he has.
Yeah, that song did way better than I expected. If you had asked me, like, just going off of memory where that finished, I would have said, oh, that didn't qualify. No. Top 10.
Like eight. Yeah, even ninth. Yeah.
Top 10, baby. I don't know.
It was a somersault.
It's well performed. Yeah. Anyway, thanks for suffering through that with us. That was fun. And
book Sam, three. He's opening the book again. Quick, throw it to the socials before.
Oh, God. Yeah, you can find us again on all the standard social media outlets and some of the substandard ones. 12pointsUSA. Just email us directly at 12pointsofamerica@gmail.com. Let us know, what was your favorite song from 2016? Favorite moments? Were you there? Tell us a story. Let us know you're out there. We know it's a slow season. We're just looking for community out there. It's a crazy time of year. Anyway, you know how to reach us. We will catch up with you in our next episode. But until then, everybody, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I got a book.
And I've been Danny.
And America.
Stop listening now.
I want to make sure I get the name right.
I told you it's Dawa.